stories from the likes of publications such as NPR, Brooklyn Vegan, Consequence of Sound, Rolling Stone, Clash Magazine, and more. As a highly regarded sitar player, Deer has also collaborated with indie rock icons Beck and legendary cult bands such as the Brian Jonestown Massacre. So welcome to the show, Rishi. I'm so happy to have you on tonight.
Ah, thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, why don't we kick off the show? Let's start the show with a song of yours off an album you released in 2020 called Hollow. And the song is called Fox on the Run.
Thank you.
That was Fox on the Run off the album Hollow from the band Elephant Stone. And tonight on Dangerfield, Rishi Dear from that band joins me tonight. So Rishi, you actually, in May 22 of this year, put out kind of a bit of like an interpretation of your 2020 album Hollow. And it's a really cool like artistic project that you did. It involves some an animated film to accompany it. So can you maybe take us through kind of like what, how you kind of came up with the idea of that album and tell us a little bit more about the process of creating that?
Yeah, well, for Hollow, for Side A, the album in 2020, like I knew it was going to be like a song suite. Like there was going to be about six songs or so that all connected. Cause as I was writing it, I was noticing that these like, it was like shorter compositions and they were okay on their own, but when you put them together, it made some, made something much more interesting. So I wrote a storyline for each song. And so I based the lyrics on that storyline. So in my head, that album was already very conceptual and it was like a movie. So I always envisioned one day, I was thinking when I was older, I could put like a stage play together about Hollow, like it's a sci-fi classical indie music stage play. But so I had these all these ideas. And then when COVID hit, I spent a lot more time at home, as we all did. And I just kept thinking about stuff. And so I just thought how cool it would be if I could just make it into like this animated film. And also I wanted to get more into film scoring. So I thought, well, this is a great opportunity. I could basically score my own film. So I just looked around for animators and I met Laurine Jusserand. She's this amazing Montreal animator. And yeah, it was so fluid and so collaborative and we learned so much. And it's funny, like the whole time I'm like, this is a fun project that I'm doing. I really didn't know what to do with it. Even now that it's finished, I still don't know what to do with it. But
And so for those that want to find Rishi's music, you can find it at elephantstone.ca, elephantstonemusic.bandcamp.com. He's on Instagram at instagram.com/elephantstone and also on YouTube at youtube.com/elephantstone. And so there's a pretty cool like package that you have available. Like it's called a deluxe album and you've got such great things on your Bandcamp page. People can purchase like a combination of a really cool t-shirt as well. Yeah, the whole thing is just really cool. And so did you do any sort of release, Rishi, when that kind of came out? Did you project it anywhere for people to see or has it been existing online like since you created it?
No, so the whole thing, we have this soundtrack, we have this movie. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted to shine a light back on Hollow because, you know, I was a bit worried that the album came out and then COVID hit. So I just thought it was a good opportunity to kind of repackage Hollow with the soundtrack. So on, say like on Spotify, it's the deluxe version. On our Bandcamp, the soundtrack is a separate release. And yeah, we coincided it with a US tour that we just wrapped up.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually saw your band play at the Garrison in Toronto about 2 weeks ago. That was a fantastic show. And I think it was the second, was the last? No, it was last night of your tour, wasn't it?
Yep. It was the last show. Yeah.
And so you basically, like, so you went on that tour. You guys played New York. You went to Cleveland, Ohio. You went through Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, and then back through Canada. And so when you did that tour, did you have different bands opening in each city or did you go on tour with another band?
Well, the funny thing was this tour was supposed to happen back in May 2020.
Okay.
And we were supposed to, my buddy Al Lover, he's like a psych DJ guy. He was supposed to open up. And for this tour, it was actually supposed to be Zoom from Toronto. And so they were actually supposed to sort of support us on every date, but they got COVID.
Oh, no.
So,
you guys didn't get COVID on this tour, did you? Because I think you mentioned that on stage that you...
No, we got lucky.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
no.
great.
Yeah, it was, like it's funny how the tour started and how it ended. I mean, the first show I was wearing a mask and just like, oh my God, oh my God. And by the end of the show, I just didn't care. End of the tour, I didn't care. I was like, oh, whatever, COVID's over for me. I'm done with this. So
And now I saw you guys went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame while you were in Cleveland. What was your favorite thing that you saw when you were there?
it was definitely the Beatles exhibition. So
Right. Well, that's.
we all nerded out over it. So
Yeah, and actually it was funny. I was talking to Jason Kent, who plays in your band, because he's, a massive Beatles fan. And I think it was last Saturday, I had that, like, a friend of mine was selling a ticket for the Syracuse Paul McCartney show, two tickets, and they were like 16th row. He was selling them for like something ridiculous, like $200. And so I was texting Jason. I'm like, do I do this? And because also he mentioned that you're actually going to be in. You're going to see him in New York City, he mentioned next week, right?
yeah, with my kids and
Yeah.
everybody, yeah.
Because I'm actually going to New York for work next week, and I'm contemplating going to that show too. It's and at
Awesome.
the yeah, so we'll see if that ends up happening, but
Nice.
that's great. You've been pretty prolific in COVID. So I've found that with a lot of musicians, it kind of, had them exploring different projects that maybe might not have come about otherwise. And so one song that I want to highlight and maybe we'll play next, you did a fundraising single for the Plus One COVID-19 Relief Fund. And it's a song called American Dream. So maybe take us a little bit through what that song means to you, and then we'll play it for the audience.
Wow, that was, yeah, I wrote that one at the beginning of COVID. And I think it was, yeah, it's just a melody. It's like this kind of folky protest song thing I had for a while. And I think it was just, like America was just all over the news all the time. It was so crazy. And just my perception of America from when I was a kid to where I am now and how it's changed. And so, yeah, so I wrote that song American Dream. It's kind of just how what's the line? It's a they call it the dream because you have to be I forgot what I can't remember the lyrics. It's been such a while. It's, basically it says wake me from this American dream, like the dream isn't real. And it's like it was just yeah, it's just that something that I wanted to get off my chest, and I did it, and it came out. Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's listen to that. This is American Dream by Rishi Dhir, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. That was American Dream by Rishi Dear, and his band is called Elephant Stone. And so, Rishi, before we were talking about kind of all the projects that you had during COVID, and one thing I saw is that you did on your YouTube channel, you did some live streaming as well. And so one thing we haven't talked about yet is the fact that you're an incredible sitar player. And so you've been practicing for about 25 years, I read, or you've been learning it for that long, which is amazing. And you even have tutorials up on your YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/elephantstone. So how long, like, that's such a complicated instrument. How long did it take you to master that?
Oh, I have not mastered it. And I doubt I ever will. I mean, I'm proficient on it.
Yeah.
In the context of music I make. There was a time when I was pursuing it more seriously as classical music. Mm-hmm. I think through my 20s, I was really trying, I was focusing on that. And then at one point I realized that I'd much rather be a songwriter. And that way, it's funny. It's just like, it's such a different part of your brain. And when I would get into sitar mode, I wouldn't be writing songs. So, but it's, I mean, my Indian classical training, it's definitely influenced by songwriting and where I go over there.
And now we were talking about, you know, just the work that you worked on during, or the songs that you put out during COVID. And so in February 18th of this year, you released an EP called Le Voyage de Monsieur Lonely dans la Lune. And this is a French EP. So let's play a song off that called Solitude, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about the album, okay?
Je voudrais être ailleurs.
That was Solitude by Elephant Stone, and Rishi Dear joins me tonight on Dangerfield. You can go find him, his music at elephantstonemusic.bandcamp.com, and he's on Instagram at instagram.com/elephantstone. So Rishi, this is your first French album, and I read that you... Was it the first album that you actually recorded and mixed yourself?
Yeah, it's funny. In my mind, I wasn't that prolific during COVID, but you're kind of pointing out all the stuff I did.
This is your life. This is like the show. This is your life.
Yeah, I mean, I was home a lot, and I mean, with Hollow, I recorded Hollow at my home studio, but we mixed it elsewhere, and just with. You know, with every release, I kind of wanted to learn more. And again, being home all the time, I'm like, this is a good opportunity to mix my own record. And also, Miles, my drummer, and I, we were always discussing about one day releasing something in French. So I was like, well, why the hell not? And it was great. That was a great experience doing that.
Yeah, and I should mention your band is made up. You mentioned, is it pronounced Dupire? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Miles Dupire.
Dupire, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I'm Toronto born and bred. I've got to work on my French accent. And it's also got Robbie MacArthur and Jason Kent. Yeah. And so have you found, you know, what's so interesting is that I've driven to, like, when I used to commute to work, I used to listen to some French music from, I think it was the CBC, either had a French show or a French channel. And there's so much great, like, kind of indie sounding music that I don't think crosses over into English radio. Did you get any English radio playing it, or do you find that people, that English radio stations aren't open to it?
It's funny enough, I found the response in the US really strong for the release.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't expect that. I was expecting it to be more France focused, but in the end, it was actually Quebec and the US that really got behind it.
Oh, cool.
It was neat. Like,
I'm going to ask you, because I noticed that you played songs from that at the Toronto show. What kind of in-person reaction would you get from fans when you were in the States playing it?
I mean, it was exotic to them.
Yeah.
In Quebec, we did some shows during COVID, mm-hmm. like reduced capacity. And like, it was funny enough, I actually played this like French only festival during COVID in Montreal, where we had to only play French songs.
Really?
And we had a song called Ogalis off of our 2016 release, I think, that we played as well. That was like we did French song before, but this was like the most intentional conceptual release as well. And I worked with my good friend Felix Tiet on the lyrics, so he really helped a lot.
That's cool. And then, like, did you, when, so you are you fully bilingual? Yeah.
I mean, I can get by. I'm not my French isn't as great as it should be, but yeah. Enough to get by in Montreal.
Yeah, I'm always curious about, yeah, like, when people are they thinking, because I know like, just through the work that I do, like, phrasing in French is so different from phrasing in English. So when you, I'm curious if you're thinking of a thought in English, does it change then when you're expressing it in French, or were you thinking in French when you were writing the lyrics?
Yeah, it was a big challenge. Like, even just, it's funny. It was very organic though. When I write songs, I kind of just have mumble lyrics, you know, I'm just making sounds as I'm coming up with the melodies. And then I noticed that the sounds of the words sounded French. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I tried making the words sound English, and that it didn't click. So I was like, okay, well, maybe this should be French. So I had the phrasings. Felix helped with the lyrics. Because again, much like Hollow, this is a concept release. I had a storyline about each song was about a specific thing in the part of the story. And I actually presented the story to Felix. I'm like, here's the melody, here's the story, write the lyrics. So he actually wrote all the words for the release.
interesting.
Yeah, it was cool.
And Neil, I want to talk a little bit about the cool record itself. So for those, again, the album's called Le Voyage de Monsieur Lonely Dans la Lune, and you've got this really cool production of the record. So it's got what's called, I don't know how to pronounce it, Zoetrope? Is that, or Zoetrope?
Zoetrope.
Yeah.
Zoetrope.
And so explain to the listeners, like, what that is and what people can expect when they purchase the album.
Yeah, the packaging was done by Juliana Calleveras. Mm-hmm. She's actually from Toronto. Okay. And so I just remember, Zoetrope is pretty cool. It's like I've seen on records. It's the center label of the record. And when it starts spinning, in this case at 33 RPM, there's a rocket that looks like it's taking off. So it's all an illusion. And it's so, I don't know, that's the thing. It's like, well, I'm going to, like, putting this out on vinyl wasn't going to make me any money. I just wanted to have a cool package. It's a one-sided vinyl, so it has a Zoetrope, and on side B, it has these engravings on it.
That's awesome.
it's like splatter vinyl. We released limited editions with Fuzz Club Records in Europe and Levitation in the US. So they have their own colors pattern for the records. It was just like, yeah, it was just something fun to do. And
that's cool.
Getting back on the road and stuff.
And are you, like, beyond music, are you artistic yourself? Like, do you do any kind of, like, your visual art?
No, I'm a horrible visual artist. I work with great visual artists, but just because I know I can't do that.
Cool. And so I saw you just announced a show today on your Instagram. And so your band Elephant Stone is going to be going out to a cool festival in Portland in September. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's called Lose Your Mind. It's this kind of like indie festival in Portland. And we're going to be supporting the Dandy Warhols there. And I think the plan is also just to book like a quick kind of West Coast tour down to, from LA to Portland, LA to Vancouver and back.
Awesome.
And last time we went out there was in 2019. And I mean, we just have to get our road legs back and start playing for people again. It's been so long.
Nice. Well, why don't we play a song now off of the first album that you put out. It's the 2009 album called The Seven Seas, and the album that had you nominated for the Polaris Music Prize. And let's play the song Bombs Bomb Away.
Bombs bomb away, fill them to dust.
was Bombs Bomb Away by Elephant Stone off their 2009 album, The Seven Seas. And Rishi Dear from that band joins me today. And so Rishi, actually, so this album, so you previously, and I was actually looking, I always, when people come on my show, I see if like I've seen their bands play live before, and I know that you were in a band called the High Dials, and I used to see that band. It's funny, I had a High Dials poster on my fridge for years, and I saw that in June 2008 of Elmo Combo. Would you have been in the band during that year?
No, I quit that band September 2006.
Oh, okay, so I remember that. Yeah. Guess I didn't see them. so then I think I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, so you have an album called The Three Poisons, and that was put out in 2014, and you actually it was remixed by there was a remix of it done by Anton Newcombe of the Brian Jonestown Massacre. And I saw that you, this year, so a couple weeks ago, you played with them, that band at the National, or Le National in Montreal. And you did this thing called a raga. So can you take the listeners through like what that is, and talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I've known Anton since 2003. As you mentioned, I was in a band called the High Dials, and we met him in 2003, and yeah, we've been friends since then. So when he came to Montreal, he asked me to play one song with him, Layla, which I learned after they've never played live. That was the first time they played the song live, so that was pretty great. So I played sitar with him for that, but. The opening band was supposed to be Mercury Rev for the show, but they couldn't get across the border from the U.S. So it was very last minute. They're like, well, Anton's like, well, do you want to open the show? <It's> like, you have your sitar. Like, we can just do like a raga. Raga is it's just an arrangement of notes. It's specific notes that you play in a specific way, and it's based on a specific scale. So I kind of, you know, we went out, it was me, Anton was playing guitar, and Ryan Van Crete was playing keyboards. And I just told them, I said, these are the notes I'm going to play. So just kind of drone along with that. So it's like, you know, it's like a half hour thing.
Wow.
It's all improvisational. And, yeah, it actually went to some pretty cool places, and I think the crowd liked it. I mean, for at Elephant Stone shows, I play ragas as well. I mean, I open the set usually with just me on solo sitar, and that's like improvising a specific raga.
So. And curious, how do you indicate to each other when it's going to end? Like, so if you didn't, like when you were playing that show in Montreal, like how do you all kind of like, do you have a code that you look at each other, give each other a wink? Like, how does it ever end? Or does it kind of musically come to a completion?
Like, yeah, that way? It was funny because I was a bit worried. I was like, oh, how's this going to end? I'm like, but it just kind of slow. It was all, you know, it's all like playing music is like a dream.
Right.
Like you're in it. And then when it's over, you're like, oh, what just happened? And
right.
And doing that, especially that, because it's very drony and you just kind of get lost in it and you build intensity, then you drop it. And I remember it just started dying out at a certain point. And then we kind of, you know, there's visual cues as well. And
yeah.
We're trying to just read each other. And yeah, and it just ended. It kind of just like slowly faded away.
Oh, cool.
So it was nice.
So listen, I want to play another song of yours. It's off your 2016 album, Ship of Fools. And I want to play it because it's called Andromeda. And my friend actually gave her kid that as the middle name, which her, the name was
Amazing.
Rhoda. So I thought that was kind of neat. So I want her to hear the song on the show tonight. So let's play Andromeda off Ella Fitzgerald's 2016 album Ship of Fools. Andromeda from Elephant Stone, and Rishi joins me tonight on Dangerfield from Elephant Stone, and you can find their music online at elephantstone.ca or instagram.com/elephantstone, and also on Bandcamp as well. So a couple more songs I want to play. So you do a really cool cover of Into the Great Wide Open. And you, I would love to play that because I just love Tom Petty and it's a really awesome version. So do you mind if I play that next?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Was
was Into the Great Wide Open, a cover of the Tom Petty song done by Elephant Stone. And Rishi from that band joins me tonight. So question about the name Elephant Stone, Rishi. So is it referencing a Stone Roses song?
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, it's so long ago, but yeah, yeah. I originally wanted to call the band Elephant.
Okay.
Because I had like this sandstone statue of Ganesh, who's the elephant god, the god of new beginnings. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought something serendipitous for the band, but there's a band called Elephant, and then I was like, Elephant Stone's a cool song by the Stone Roses.
Well, so. You know what's funny? So when I was doing my research for the show, like one of the things that came up in the news was that there's an actual Elephant Stone statue, and it's called the Benenamini Village of Belur Taluk, and it's a 10-foot tall stone statue. And have you heard about this?
I mean, it keeps popping up in some of my feed sometimes.
Yeah. So that's why I was like, oh, I wanted to see like where the name came from. So that's funny. Tell me a little bit about your home studio and kind of what your favorite instrument is in your studio.
I'm actually in my studio right now. My wife and I bought a place a few years ago. And so luckily the basement was unfinished, so I actually built a soundproof studio in here and treated the room. It's not that big. It's got low ceilings, but I got drums, I got amps,
cool.
I got keyboards. I mean, my favorite piece of gear. I have a Mellotron.
Oh, nice.
I just love, yeah, it's just like, it just sounds great.
Yeah. And so how many instruments do you play?
I mean, I play everything not very well. I mean, I'm not that great on drums. I'm not a great guitar player. I can play guitar enough to write a song. I can play keyboards enough to, you know, I can do melodies. Like, yeah, I think I can play any instrument that's handed to me. I can play a woodwind instrument or brass.
And were you formally trained, or were you someone who kind of picked up by ear? Because I always find it interesting, like how different musicians kind of are drawn towards music. So some get into it through, you know, lessons when they were younger, some pick it up by ear. So how did you like get into music yourself?
I mean, when I was younger, I was forced into piano lessons.
Yeah.
I hated it. And then I picked up the bass when I was like 15, and I just kind of just listened to a lot of like Who records and stuff like that, and Beatles. And the only instrument I'm really formally trained on is the sitar. I mean, I for about 10 years I was pretty serious taking lessons.
Mm-hmm.
But everything else I'm kind of self-taught, and so I've been doing this so long.
Yeah.
That it's just, I can't imagine myself not playing an instrument. A point in my life where I did not play an instrument.
Right. And do your kids play instruments?
Yeah. My daughter, my eldest, she takes piano lessons. My youngest, he's.
So now you're doing the forcing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, no, yeah, my youngest is playing violin. My youngest,
yeah.
He's 6 or 7. He wanted to play violin because he wanted to impress a girl at school.
Really?
And then it turned out she actually played piano, and he's like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. But but I'm trying to make him stick to it. Like, his teacher's really great. She's teaching him.
Yeah. Everyone that take it, like, was everyone that I know always thanks their parents in the end, because it's really great. So listen, let's just play another song of yours. I want to play Hold Onto Your Soul. Off your 2013 album, also by the name Elephant Stone, and then we'll come back and we'll chat.
I did not know how to follow my soul. Baby, hold on tight. Baby, hold on tight. Baby, hold on tight. Another number to make you happy.
That was Hold On To Your Soul by Elephant Stone, and Rishi from Elephant Stone joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. And so Rishi, there's a really cool footage I saw on your Instagram the other week, and it's you had, you played with Beck at a show in Australia. Can you tell us a little, and actually also Montreal I read. So tell us a little bit how that came to be.
Yeah, back in 2012, I was actually playing bass with the Black Angels from Austin, Texas. I was they recently fired their bassist, and I'm old friends with them. And so for that year, I kind of filled in on bass and sitar and backing vocals, and we played Coachella, we played Lollapalooza, we played Oceaga, and also we went to Australia to play Harvest Festival. And while we were there, Beck was on the bill, and I remember, I think it was the first show was in Melbourne. I saw him play. I was like, he played Loser, but with no sitar. And I was like, well, that's a shame. And I went to our sound guy, Brett, and I said, by the next show, I think the next show was in Sydney, I was like, I'm going to be on stage with him playing sitar. And he's like, you go get him.
That's so awesome.
I had a week. I'm like, now how do I do this? And so I had time. So I just, luckily, my buddy Wally Kempton, he was tour managing a band that were supporting Beck on at a venue gig in Australia. So I'm like, Wally, can you kind of put that in their tour manager's ear? And he did it. And so in Sydney, just I was in backstage, and then the tour manager found me. She's like, come with me. I went to Beck's trailer, and we just spoke a bit, and we just jammed a little. And he's like, all right, I'll see you on stage. And then
that's awesome.
So we did that. Then we did the following night in Brisbane. I did another song with him. And then when they came to Montreal a few months later, I did Oceaga as well. So it was great. I mean, I think that's like a highlight of my career. Wow. Playing Beck. I mean, there was like, yeah, I mean, he's unbelievable. He's beyond anything. And playing to like 60,000 people was pretty magical.
Yeah, like that must just be such a rush.
Yeah, it was nice. Well, actually, the big thing was, I remember, I forgot what show it was, but we're playing Loser, then Beck just walked over and gave me the nod to take a solo. So I was like, oh my God, don't mess this up.
That's so amazing. Well, Rishi, we're coming up on time here. That literally just flew by. So I just wanted to say, you know, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And again, for those who want to check out the band Elephant Stone, you can find them at elephantstone.ca and also on iTunes and Spotify and Bandcamp and all of that. And and we're going to end off the show. I'm going to play that the top of the show we referenced the album Hollow that is out May 2022, and let's play some songs from that to kind of take us out of the show. So thanks again for the interview, and I hope you have a great night. Okay,
thanks. You too, Mary.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Forget the fear and then the fall.